The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Wednesday edition of a numbers game, hour number two. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. The segment brought to you by Zen Nicotine Pouches. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as well. Kelly, we heard magic carpet ride going on out there. I will give you $1.8 million if you can tell me who sings magic carpet ride, because I know that you have zero. That's why I know that my $1.8 million is safe, because you have no idea. Steppenwolf magic carpet ride.
Sean McCollum's always trying to help me out. You were just a step too late.
Yeah, you would not have cheated me out of my $1.8 million, so I feel okay.
Hey, you know what? Shocking things have happened on this show in the last week. I don't even remember what tennis players. I spelled the names correctly. Of Gil was, there was no chance I was going to get him right, and I did.
Look at you. Well,
Felix Auger-Aliassime versus someone else I'm not remembering right now.
But you,
Jiří, whatever Jiří's last name. Well, Hetchka.
You've typed enough.
That's what it was. I tried to explain that to Gil.
Yeah, you've typed him enough into the rundown or whatever. That yeah.
When he first challenged me, I'm like, well, I got to write him. He's like, what do you mean you got to write them? I'm like, that's where I've written them so many times.
Yeah, you're like, I can't spell it like this. I need to write it down, and then I can, yeah, and then we can go.
I can be that kid, you know, the kid at the spelling bee who does it with their hand or whatever. Yeah.
Now join us here on the Progressive guest line, Will Hill. You can find him all over our network. You can also find him, not the Will Hill, over on the Twitter machine as well. Will, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Well, we don't know what you can find, I think is the lyrics, but I didn't know it was Steppenwolf. That's that must have been a one-hit wonder, because that's a pretty popular, pretty famous song. But I don't know that I've ever heard of Steppenwolf. 1.8 million is a very random number. How do we arrive at 1.8 million?
I can't tell you. Okay. That really did just come off the top of my head.
They also did the hit Born to be Wild.
What we should have said is that the 1.8 million came to mind because if they were only going to find Jamal Murray, that's what they should have fined him. But, exactly. But instead, like, yeah, I don't know. The only number that came to the top of my head. So let's start in the NBA, and you are looking at tomorrow's game in the Cavs and the Celtics here, and you're going to go on the Cavs team total.
Yep, I'm going to go back to the well here, and this was anyone who I gave this along yesterday. Anyone who tailed along had a sweaty little victory yesterday by under 50.5 first half team total for the Cavs. I probably prefer that to the 99.5 full game total, just because garbage time. Look, that's why I call it garbage time. Garbage can happen in garbage time. It did stay under the full game, and the Cavs last night had, I think, 3 points in the last 3.5 minutes to stay under. But I just think from a matchup standpoint, it's just very hard for the Cavs to find offense here. There's really nobody you have to double. I think the Celtics have enough wings, enough bodies where they can play Mitchell straight up. You don't have to double. You don't have to overhelp. No Allen means really no second chance points for Cleveland. In order for Cleveland to have any hope on the other end defensively, they're going to have to play some non-shooters like Okoro and some of these bigs. So, again, I just think that instead of laying these exorbitant spreads, 13.5, I'm sure it'll close probably 14, which, look, they covered, they were good for it, but I'd rather just play the team total under for the Cavs, because that's really the matchup I think favors Boston. And look, Cleveland's coming off a long series, a physical grinding series, playing every other day now. There's probably some fatigue there, and I just think matchup-wise, it's going to be hard for Cleveland to score. So Cavs team total under 99.5 for the full game. I don't know if DraftKings has a first half one yet. I'm sure you're probably looking at 50.5, something like that. And that's probably the way I'd prefer to go there.
Yeah, there was a couple ugly ones. That bet last night, I was watching and tracking Will, because I knew there was a couple people on that one. And then, yeah, if you're on the over like I was in Dallas, Oklahoma City, that was painful as well. Because it ended up being, you know, several points off, but with kid waving the white flag with 5 minutes left and pulling everybody out. And then OKC, okay, well, we don't really have to score anymore. Yeah. I'm like, great.
Just dribbling out the clock yeah. Every single time. You're going like, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
Brutal.
That was unbelievable. Yes. All right. So let's go to a series bet that you have before we circle back to tonight's game, and we can talk a little bit more about that one in depth. But you like what you saw from OKC.
Yeah, I had OKC last night. I had them for the series. I picked OKC in six. I might be like a game too long now. I'm sure Dallas, they could have their moments in the series. I just don't know that Luka's healthy. I think Luka missed, what, 3 of his last 17 shots. He started out healthy. I don't know if he tweaked it or if he's just, you know what, he can start out okay and then it wears on him, but he does not look healthy. He looks diminished. He looks limited. And this Thunder team is just really good. They've flown under the radar, I think, because they have such a good future. All these picks, all these young players, people, oh, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, they're going to be in good shape. they're in great shape right now. They are an under the radar one seed. So OKC minus 1.5 games for the series. I think they win the series. I don't think it goes seven. I'm kind of torn now between 5 and 6, but I do like him in game two too. I would lay the 5 again. I just don't know that Luke is healthy. So I think OKC minus 1.5 games, where basically they just have to win the series. They don't have to play game 7. I think they'll be up 2-0, probably get a split in Dallas. And I don't know, again, I'm torn between the 5 and the 6, but this is not looking good for Dallas. If this is the version of Luka you're going to get, this is going to be a pretty short series here.
Talking to Will Hill here on the Progressive Guest Line. Will, let's go to tonight's game. It is the Pacers and the Knicks. It is now 4.5 in favor of the Knicks at home. 219 the total, plus 154 if you think the Pacers win it outright. When this thing was sitting at 5, you took advantage of that extra half point, and you are on the Pacers.
Yeah, I think this is a must-win for Indy. I just don't, again, the old adage, nobody, the series doesn't start until a road team wins a game or whatever it is. Look, if you're Indy, you're not going to win 4 out of 5 against this Knicks team. They're too evenly matched. Winning a game 7 in the Garden, I think, is a lot to ask. I think you need to get 1-1. I always think if you're the road team and you're serious about winning a series, you probably have to be up 3-1, because even 2-2 with 5 and 7 on the road is not a good scenario. I just think Indy will get a more favorable whistle tonight, just human nature based on, you know, what happened the other night, which was just a ridiculous end to that game. So many different ways with the kickball, the moving screen. They got an unfair whistle. So look, the Knicks, they played 7 playoff games. They've all been close. The Knicks don't blow anybody out. I thought they'd win the series and win it comfortably. I was kind of impressed with Indy where, hey, maybe these two teams are a little closer than I might have thought. I just thought the Knicks' physicality, toughness would be the difference in the series, and it still might be. But look, make sure you get the best of the number. I'd obviously rather have a 5 than a 4.5. But I don't know that there's a ton that separates these teams. And Indy really could have, should have won the game the other night. And you got, what, six shots from Halliburton. So I'll take the points here. Knicks play tons of close games. And Knicks are eventually, I mean, I know you guys are talking about it. Eventually, they're going to run out of bodies here. I mean, you're basically not using your bullpen. You're just using your 5 starters. You're basically using 6 guys. Now Mitchell's banged up. It's just a lot of injuries, a lot of wear and tear on the Knicks. You wonder how sustainable this is.
Well, before we shift over to Major League Baseball, just your thoughts on Nuggets, Timberwolves. Nuggets have a shot in coming back in this thing?
No, done, over. I was very concerned after game one. Usually when the road team wins game one, I hammer the home team game two and say, hey, we've seen this movie before. You know, the road team is happy with their split. The home team comes out for blood in game two. I didn't bet Minnesota game two, but I didn't bet Denver. I was very nervous based on what I saw in game one. I was like, man, this looks real. This looks repeatable for Minnesota. There's just, they take away so much of what Denver does. The stuff at the, you know, alley-oops, back cuts, front of the rim floaters. They're just so long, so athletic. It looks like they're playing with 6 or 7 guys on defense. And now you're going to flip buildings, flip venues here. I would think Denver would come out with more intensity, but Denver winning 4 out of 5 here, I does not seem realistic here, unless Jokic is just going to flip the script here and put up 38, 15, and 12 and just absolutely take over the game, which, look, he's still the best player in the league. He's still capable of it. This idea that now people are ripping Jokic and, you know, he's not a deserving MVP, all the stuff, is just, come on, give me a break. But to me, Minnesota is going to figure out a way to win the series. I think it's much more likely, obviously, that Minnesota sweeps and Denver actually comes back and wins. Let me ask you guys, I was thinking about this the other day. If you're Denver right now, I was thinking about this yesterday. If you're Denver, would you sign for a split in Minnesota?
Oh, man. No. I think if you're Denver, you got to be thinking you need every win possible here.
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting. I don't think they're going 2-0. I don't know that they're going 1-1. I'm with you, Will. I think they look just overmatched right now.
I would say at least if you're 3-1, all right, we got our sea legs under us. We got a game. We got game 5 in Denver. Hopefully make it 3-2, and then, hey, we're kind of back in it. I don't know. It's a tough path, man. Down 2-0. Going on the road is really, it's a tough hill to climb. Minnesota just looks incredible.
If Jamal Murray was right, I would give that a shot. Like you're saying, like I would say, like, okay, you know, whatever, at least they have a game, whatever, dead. But they don't have another killer. It's Jokic. If like you're saying, Will, if Jokic doesn't go for 30, if he doesn't triple double, basically, essentially, if he doesn't triple double, I don't understand. I don't know how they get there.
Hit some threes too. I mean, because they don't live at the free throw line. They don't hit a ton of threes, so their stuff is all like the front of the rim. And Minnesota takes that away. Like, they're going to have to find a way to get more threes in.
I think it's done too. But prove me wrong. Give me an exciting series.
Right,
prove me wrong. I want to see it. Let's flip over to the Diamond. This is a game we actually hit on a little bit earlier, so I'm glad that you are on it here. The Tigers and the Guardians. This is Reese Olson versus Tanner Bibee. Sitting minus 135 on the Guardians at home right now, plus 114 on the Tigers on the road. 7.5 is the total for the full game, but you're going to look at first 5.
Yeah, I don't play too many full games unders with these with the extra innings now. It's just that you've been burned one too many times. You just have a hard time going back to it. But under four is the number. And you can kind of pick your number. There's 4.5, like minus 150. There's some minus 160s out there if you want the hook where, hey, I win it 2-2. I win it 3-1 instead. But I'm going to go under. Olsen, 5 of 6 starts. He's given up 2 runs or less. He's been pretty good. Bibee was bad his last time out, but before that, 7 shutout innings against the Braves. These are 2 pretty good pitchers, not great offenses. So I'll go, we'll call it under the 4 here for the first 5.
You got 45 seconds to tell us about the Rangers.
I've been a big Oakland A's better, big proponent, but the market has kind of caught up to them. This idea that they're a coin flip basically now with the World Series champion Rangers. They were yesterday. They got destroyed. They're playing a doubleheader today. Again, shop around, but then the minus 125, minus 135 range for both games. I took Texas for game 1 and for game 2. I just don't know that Oakland and Texas should be on like the same path here where, hey, this is like an even line. I think that's a little too much.
Yeah, Michael Lorenzen going for the Rangers in game 1 and Jack Leiter going for the Rangers there in game 2. And as you mentioned, game 1, just a minus 125 favorite. Lorenzen has some pedigree, though. He's been up and down throughout the course of his career. So should be able to handle the A's, though. I know they've been feisty, but should be able to handle them. Will, thanks for the time today. You can find him up and down VSiN, so be sure to catch all of Will's appearances. You can find him over on the Twitter machine at Not The Will Hill as well. Good luck today, man.
All right. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, Kelly, let's head over to the NFL. Let's take a look at some of these divisions and some of these divisional thoughts. We get some news coming out as well. This is not on the NFC side of things, on the AFC side of things, but I want to get your thoughts on that when we come back here on A Numbers Game on a Wednesday.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you haven't already, go check out the new VSiN.com, VSIN.com. You can do it on your computer. You can do it on your tablet. You can do it on your mobile phone, which, by the way, it is mobile optimized now. Go in, get your best bet, your betting split, your articles. You can get the odds. You can get the tools. You can get the guides. And, of course, every single day, new content going up there with the best bets over on the picks page as well. VSiN.com, VSIN. Matt Brown in for Gil here on a Wednesday numbers game. And Kelly, this just came through the Twitter machine, so I'm throwing you for a loop here. This is not on the rundown. You have not been able to prep for this, but here we go.
The
top 10 most valuable sports franchises in the world just came out.
Okay.
Number one is
Dallas Cowboys.
Yes. Did it come through your Twitter machine too?
No. Dallas is usually up there.
It is. What do you think?
But I was not very confident in my answer.
Their valuation is, I'll put it this way, you can't afford them.
$6.8 billion.
You can't afford them. You couldn't afford them if you had $6.8 billion.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
11?
It's $9.2 billion.
Whoa.
Is the value of the Dallas Cowboys.
The other thing I think we've learned by now, too, is whatever you're reading, they're actually valued more, right? I mean, yeah. Every franchise, like, well,
because whoever's coming to buy them has to buy it at a premium because there's only 32 of them.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Like,
so that.
Yeah, it's like there's because there's only 32 of them.
I mean, how many we've seen these lists so many times before, and then an NBA team gets bought or something, and you're like, they paid what for the Phoenix Suns? Yeah. What?
You want a Rolls Royce? There's lots of Rolls Royce. You can go buy all the Rolls Royce you want. You want those stupid cyber trucks or whatever that you can buy? Oh, there's tons of those things. But you can't. There's only 32 NFL franchises. That's it. There's only 32 of them.
If you're wondering from the tone of his voice, yes, Matt Brown does collect things. Like baseball cards and stuff.
9.2 billion. Number two on the list, and I will give you at least a hint. It is not a football team.
Is it a baseball team in the New York Yankees?
Number three is the New York Yankees.
Manchester City.
No. It is still
in America? America?
Golden State Warriors.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Golden State Warriors, $8.2 billion.
Damn, that arena was expensive.
then the Yankees at $7.9 billion. The next two, both basketball franchises.
Wow. Suns?
Knicks.
Okay.
What's that other popular team in California?
Lakers.
there you go. Knicks at 7.4, Lakers at 7.3. Then we get into football, the New York Football Giants at $7 billion.
There are that many NBA teams above the rest of the NFL teams.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. The Giants at number 6 at $7 billion. The Rams at number 7 at $6.9 billion. The Patriots at number 8. The Patriots at number 8 at $6.7 billion. Then we get the Dodgers come in at number 9 at $6.3 billion. And then we get over into the football world. Manchester United in at number 10 at $6.2 billion.
I thought they sucked. Why are they worth so much right now? They're having a terrible season.
Hey, the same could be said about the Cowboys. You know, like the rim shot. You know, but yeah, it's the Manchester. So it's Cowboys, Warriors, Yankees, Knicks, Lakers, Giants, Rams, Patriots, Dodgers, Manchester United.
That is a fascinating list. It's a fascinating list. I mean, that's the biggest.
And then to let you know, but what's even more fascinating, I guess, in the whole deal is just how big the Cowboys are, because they're number one on the list and they are worth $3 billion more than the number 10 on the list.
Yeah.
$3 billion more than the number 10 on the list.
What are they? Who is the second NFL franchise? The Giants?
The second was the New York Football Giants, then the Rams, then the Patriots.
What were the Giants evaluated?
Giants were 7.
Yeah. Wow.
So the next closest is $2.2 billion cheaper than the Cowboys.
Man. Good on you, Jerry. I mean, good on you. I know you catch a lot of hate, but oh boy.
Let me tell you, buddy.
There's a team in New York City, and you've got a team valued way more than that.
Let me tell you, buddy. I ain't paying $7 billion for the Giants. I'm not doing it. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine having to go through? You paid $7 billion and you inherited Daniel Jones? Like, man, no way. No thanks.
No, I'm not doing that. But, you know, by the way, things that are way too late, I finally watched the Tom Brady roast last night.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Wow, I expected to catch a lot of heat from you for needing 3 days to catch up.
You don't know why? It's because I left, like, it's too long.
It took me two separate viewing. I started it on Monday. Yeah.
If it was half the time, I think I'd come out of that going, we should have one of those a month with a new family. But dude, you can't go nearly 3 hours. I mean, you can't do it. It got to the point where you're sitting there just going, oh, my God, be over. Like, this has gone way too long.
And, of course, Tom Brady was last, and he was painfully unfunny. Like, there were so many people that were so good, and you get to Tom Brady, and you're like, what? Man, why did you – if you didn't have a couple loaded to fire off at people, why did you ask for this, man? Like, Belichick was funnier than you. Belichick was. How did that happen?
I wonder who wrote his stuff.
That's all I kept wondering about everybody. I mean, Gronk, God bless you, Gronk. God bless you, because somehow he still looked surprised. It took him like you brought up, like it was like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
It took him the whole first hour to settle into like, you know what? I think I'm going to get a lot of jokes about me being dumb tonight. Like the first dozen seemed to surprise him
This is what I'll give you guys. So not to spoiler alert here. If you haven't seen it yet, but you don't have the 3 hour... 3 hours to invest. Just skip to the Nikki Glaser part.
Yeah,
it's Nikki Glaser.
Yeah,
right?
You got it. I didn't know her either.
She's a comedian. She was fantastic.
She was like, amazing.
So if there's only one part to watch, her it would be her part, in my personal opinion. So just if you want to skip to that or whatever, and
agreed.
we'll give you till tomorrow, and then we'll start talking about specific jokes. no spoilers and for another 24 hours, and then tomorrow, then we'll actually bring them up. And so, sorry, we gave you fair warning.
That's right.
There it is. Go in and watch this deal. So, the NFL markets that are already available it's crazy to me, Kelly. We used to beg for them to get put up in August, and here we are, you know, in May, and we have hundreds of markets up already.
Yeah,
hundreds of markets up already over at DraftKings, and so we're taking a look at some of these divisions. And
real quick, does it make betting this stuff easier or harder for you? We were kind of having this discussion like a week ago, because I brought up the same thing of just there always kind of used to be a season, even like a season within the off season, even for us bettors, right? Yeah. It was like, okay, the draft's going to get done, and then we're going to get odds posted, and we can really dive into some of this stuff. But this stuff gets posted immediately, basically after the Super Bowl now, and it's, you don't really want to jump in too much before the draft, but then numbers are gone. So I don't know. Like, do you feel like you've done more because stuff's been posted?
Well, so I did, and we were starting with the NFC East. I did. I I bet the Eagles before the draft, and then I like it even better after the draft. I thought the Eagles crushed the draft, but mainly because, so before the draft, the Eagles were sitting in that like plus 145, 150-ish range, depending on where you were looking. The Cowboys were the favorite in that division. I don't think that should be the case at all. Yeah. I think this Eagles squad, I think we forget how good they were through the first 12 games of the season. And then, yeah, they faded down the stretch, but they faded down the stretch because they couldn't play any defense at all. And they go and address that in the draft. They go in and get two of the three best corners in the draft who are going to immediately step in and play in this secondary. And so we talk about this is the deal with the evolution of football, right, Kelly? So the wide receivers, the young wide receivers are coming in and they are making a difference earlier than they did a while ago. And it's because football now is a year-round deal. They play these 7-on-7s all over the country. And so these wide receivers are running routes and catching passes basically 12 months a year.
Yeah.
You know, but the same thing is with corners. You have to have people to guard these guys in these 7-on-7s. So the corner play is also much higher than it was a decade ago as well, too. And they are adjusting to the game just as quickly because, yes, you do have the 7-on-7s. From the offensive perspective, someone's got to play defense, right? And so the defense is happening. So these corners are guarding these elite receivers all year long, you know, in high school.
Meanwhile,
linebackers
and running backs are just lifting,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, they're just getting big. They're just getting quads, you know, quadzillas.
Play some Madden, bro. Yeah, I don't know. Like, chilling.
Getting huge quads and going on and getting drafted in the sixth round is basically what's going on with a lot of that stuff. So, but for me, I think those guys are going to step in and make a difference for this Eagles team, and I actually really like it. It's still 130, plus 130 for both them and the Cowboys. I think the Eagles are the best team in that division. We always talk about this. We can only handicap what we can handicap. There might be injuries, and that completely changes the complexion of these teams. But for what they are going to be putting on the field from day one to start, I like the Eagles a lot better than I like the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think this was it. This was one I was, I think, in my mind, back of my mind, waiting on the schedule for, but I don't think it's really needed. I did this. I made that same bet last year. I think it was the same exact situation where the odds first got posted. Cowboys were shorter than the Eagles. I thought that was a little off, but I'm with you. I think this team rebounds. It was ugly down the stretch last year. Yeah. I think this team I am supremely confident in all of those offensive playmakers. Yeah. I know everybody goes back and forth on Jalen Hurts. I'm confident in him. I love A.J. Brown. So I think those guys, they could be really, really tough on offense. Like you said, they killed it in the draft, addressing some of their needs. They're a team I will probably be betting to win that division. And win total, possibly over as well, waiting on schedule. That will be coming out next week.
NFC North, NFC South, NFC West when we come back here.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you do not already have a VSiN Pro subscription, guess what? We got a deal for you for $199 American dollars. We're going to give you 14 months. Yes, not 12. 14 months, 2 months, absolutely free. You go to VSiN.com/subscribe, but you got to use promo code ANGANG to unlock this deal. VSiN Pro subscription is our spring special. It's going to go away. Take advantage of it. It's a free 60 days whenever you go and sign up for an annual subscription. $199, 2 months, absolutely free. VSiN.com/subscribe, ANG as the promo code. Oh, you were sitting here talking about a song that you heard and how it reminded you of something.
You got the way to move me, Sherry.
And it's just
It was Saving Silverman. That was the name of that movie, right? Whenever I hear that song now, I just picture Jack Black. Was it Steve Zahn? Right? Is that the guy? No, I'm making that up.
So we.
I was right. Thanks, Hicks.
We as NBA fans. Then, so I'm kind of like talking about songs that remind you of things. Like, so people have been going crazy, obviously, about the Chet and SGA.
Oh, God.
What a pro wants.
Yeah.
Does it bother you as much as it bothers everybody else? Oh,
of course. Yeah. I mean, I love both of them, but
I don't like doing the whole screaming at clouds thing. Like, and I feel like a lot of people do that, but honestly, that commercial is cringeworthy.
Okay. So
it just, it, it, it comes on, I'm just kind of like, oh man, again. Oh,
yeah, yeah. We've talked about it on the show a lot. I mean, see, I'm a big commercial critic too when it comes to like plot lines and stuff, which is a really weird thing to be into, okay. Right? Like, I've never been any help to any company I've worked for on the marketing side because I actually don't have great ideas. I just have great criticism, right? Like that's it. But the thing that's obvious right away, you're like, does either of these two guys actually know the song? Like, they're both very young, and sorry, it is 2024. So I did do the research. Chet didn't know the song. He was approached like a year ago, apparently, to do the commercial. Here's the biggest problem I got with it, though, Matt, is some of these commercials, like, they know. Oh, they know.
No flex. Zone. No flex. Zone. No, like, if you watch 1 minute of NBA, you've seen that one,
yes,
too, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what commercial that is?
No, I don't know what company it is, but I know I can picture it in my head right now.
It's ruined that song. I don't listen.
Wingstop. Thank you, Hicks.
Yeah,
Wingstop. So the one, though, that I was going crazy about for a while, too, was the you can give your janky phone to your kid, and then, like, the lady screams in the background. That was driving me nuts. But they changed that commercial, Matt. That's a company, and I don't even know who it is, some mobile company. I think it's T-Mobile, actually. They recognized that part was annoying, and they shortened the commercial.
No flex. Zow. Like, it's just like...
They know, man.
Because it happens every commercial break. Like, Wingstop has spent $1 trillion on NBA commercials.
Okay, you might kill me for this one. The one that I do like is the Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo. What's his name? Like, Randy or something? He shows up, he's like, Randy brought the wings. I don't know, he cracks me up.
Yeah, but it's not a song that gets burnt into your brain.
Yeah, I know, But you see the commercial a billion times.
That makes you hate the thing. You know, that's the other problem. It's like, now I just... that might be a good song for all, and I don't know, the No Flex Zones. That might be a good song for all, but I can't like it. It's impossible to like it. That song, written off, done so.
Jimmy brought free Buffalo wing, Wild Wings, Jimmy. Got cracked.
I know, man. NFC West, 49ers are -195. The Rams are +330. Seahawks are 7-1. The Cardinals are 13-1. You can write the Cardinals off. So 13, don't waste the 13-1. They're not going to win that division. So now we talk about the 49ers, we talk about the Rams, we talk about the Seahawks. I think there's a case to be made that it is not as cut and dry that the 49ers are going to win this division. I do believe that they are the best team in this division, unlike the NFC East, which we just talked about, which I think the Eagles are the best team, though they're not priced it. The Rams are interesting, right? The Rams have good offensive pieces. They lose the best defensive player we've seen in our generation in Aaron Donald. That being said, they go and they draft, they replace him in the draft, and they got a higher level of defense out of that group last year than I would have thought. I thought they were going to be one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I'll put it this way, Kelly. Let me pose this question to you. Would it shock you if the Rams or Seahawks won this division over the 49ers?
I think without major significant injury stuff, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to bring up with you, the Rams and the Packers are the most difficult teams for me to figure out this offseason because I think they are the two of the hottest teams, hottest offseason teams for people to talk about. The Rams, I felt, you know, a year ago, they were a team like, I think we've drifted a little too far on where this team's talent. I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people think. I think we might be a little too high on them now, especially with Aaron Donald leaving. Like that is a big deal.
I think they could be a playoff team. I don't think they can win this division.
That's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of where, and you know, we kind of got into it yesterday when we were discussing Geno Smith. Like, I don't know that the Seahawks are completely a non-factor in the NFC playoff discussion, at least, either. So this division is fascinating to me. I do agree with you, though. I don't think the Cardinals have any chance of winning it.
NFC South, Falcons -130. The Bucs are 3-1. Saints are +380. And then the Panthers are 15-1. You can write the Panthers off. They're still a couple of years away if they ever even get there, but they're not going to do it. So I have a bunch of Falcons tickets. And everybody that follows any of the programming I've done on the network, you guys know I've got a ton of Falcons futures, ton of Falcons tickets. Even at +130, I think they're by far the best team in this division, Kelly. I obviously hate what they did with their first round pick. It seems like they're in win now mode, and yet they didn't draft to win now, which is just asinine. That being said, they're still the best team in this division. They're still the most talented team in this division. They have the best quarterback in this division. They have the best defense in this division. Barring some sort of major injury, this is the Falcons division. I don't hate the minus 130 price. Obviously, I liked it better when it was plus money, but I don't hate the minus 130 price on them.
Yeah, this is, I got no bets here. I don't know that I will. I think that'd be the only way I could go in this division. You know what this is giving me strong vibes of is it's the Jags in the AFC South situation last year. I know we were both, you were on that division ticket, right? Yeah, I mean, I was on that heavy. And I think I might still be feeling the PTSD of that not getting home. Like that was incredible. And I think at this time last year, even though the rest of the teams in this division are pretty terrible. I think I felt stronger about the Jags and that price last year at this time than I do about the Falcons. So I'm going to be staying away, but I'm with you. It's the only team I can look at to win this division.
They were able to scrounge together wins last year with maybe the worst quarterbacking situation in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. And so you bring in Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, was an absolute baller last year before he got hurt. That Minnesota offense was top three in just about every single category that you could possibly get. He steps into a really good wide receiver room. He steps into a good running back situation, a good offensive line. The defense should put them in situations to be able to be successful as well. I really, really like the Falcons. And also, I'm just way lower on the Saints than other people are. And also, the Bucs ran on the right side of injury variance last year.
Yep.
They're an old team that didn't get injured, which just doesn't happen in the NFL. And so I'm assuming regression sets in again.
They're the same as the Rams for me, in the sense that last year I thought people's opinion of the team had drifted too low. I think we're too high on this team now. The Saints are more appropriately for where they should be at, unlike last year amongst this division. But I like your bet. I like your bet.
NFC North, the Lions plus 150, the Packers plus 210, the Bears plus 265, the Vikings are 10-1. So I think that there is maybe a little bit too much love on this Packers and Bears, on these Packers and Bears teams. In my opinion, I think the Lions are still clearly the best team in this division. Did the Bears get better? Obviously.
Yeah.
But it's still a rookie quarterback stepping into a situation with taking on the NFL. I mean, like, we really think the Bears are going to come in and then leapfrog the Packers and the Lions to win this division? They're under 3-1. There's just no – I just do not see a scenario in which that happens, because – it's two teams you have to leap. And honestly, I don't think the Vikings are that far off.
I was just going to say.
From where the Bears are. And like the fact that the pricing difference, I would bet the Vikings at 10-1 to win this division before I would bet the Bears at plus 265.
Ever since we've seen any odds on anything for this division, the separation between the Bears and the Vikings has been shocking to me. How big of a separation there is. If I had to make a bet right now, it'd be taking 10-1 on the Vikings to win this division.
Why are the Bears plus 265? It's a rookie quarterback stepping into a pretty good situation, where the Vikings are likely to be a rookie quarterback stepping into a pretty good situation. Yet it's 10-1 to plus 265.
It's a better situation.
There's not a glaring difference between these two teams.
It's a better situation. I'd rather have a rookie quarterback on the Vikings roster than a rookie quarterback on the Bears roster, in my opinion.
I mean,
the Lions and Packers, I don't know. I'm high on the Lions. I don't know how high on them to be. Like, I don't know where they fall. I know they had a great run last year. I don't know where they truly fall amongst the best teams in the NFC. I think they're up there, but I don't know where. And I don't know I think the Packers are kind of in that, I think they're a wild card team still. And when a lot of people are making the case for them to go out and win the division this year, and I'm just not there yet on that team.
Look, we have a very small sample size of Jordan Love playing good football. He might actually be good, for all we know. But we have a very small sample size. Right, we don't know for sure that he's going to be. I think we're just crowning him at this point, which we don't really know if that's going to be the situation. I think the Lions are the class of that division. Still getting plus money, I think, is something that's super intriguing. Obviously, you can parlay some of these, you know, division winners. I think that that's something you could look at as well. We've been talking about NFL MVP for a while now. We'll recap all of the best from golf as well when we come back.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you don't already have a DraftKings Sportsbook account, we got a deal for you. Go in, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and when you make your first deposit, use promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. make a bet of $5, and we're going to give you 150 instantly in bonus bets. That's all you got to do. Go in, download, deposit, use the promo code VEASAN, bet $5. We'll give you 150 instantly over there at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Final segment here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. And sorry if you hate me. I'm back tomorrow. That's unfortunate for people out there. I know that some of these people are like, oh, God. It's okay. Yeah, I'm back in tomorrow, too.
The guy I feel the worst for is Ben Wilson because he's loved. He's beloved on this show. But it's always, talk college baseball. Why are you talking other things? Talk college baseball. he was been great the past couple years betting college baseball. So he'll be on Friday.
Is he back on the...
And yes, we will be doing some college baseball on Friday.
Is he back on? Is he doing play by play for college baseball again this
year? He's all over the place right now. Yes, I believe so. Yeah, he was at least at the beginning of the season. I know he's got arena football now going on, so I don't know how it all works. One of the hardest working guys in sports.
I mean, you never know what he's calling.
No, you really don't.
You
like if you're playing a pickup basketball game at home today, watch out. Ben Wilson might show
you,
up.
You hit him up and he's like, yeah, I'm on dodgeball this week. And then I got slam ball next week after that. And flying out to Florida for highlight. You know, it's like, whoa, you call highlight now?
My favorite thing still is whenever the ESPN Ocho reruns come on and I hear the sweet sounds of Adam Candy's voice. And I'm like, oh, there's some disco dodgeball going on or something. I got to tune in for this.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those deals where we're kind of joking, but like Ben calls a lot of stuff. He really does.
He calls a lot of stuff.
We're kind of joking, but not really. Kind of joking, but not really. It's one of those deals where.
Yeah. His age is way too young for how long his resume is at this point. Like all the things at the same time. Dude, know,
they're going. Like, they're like, how did you call the cricket finals in 2014? You were like 9. And he's like, yeah, I don't, you know, just has always been a passion of mine. So that's just what I'm doing. Hey Ben, I hope you're listening. We're making funny.
Don't worry, I'm gonna text him anyway. We just made funny.
Yeah, hope you're listening. We're making funny. So let's go ahead before we get into the NFL MVP talk. We didn't get proper time for your golf bets, and I know a lot of people want to know about your golf bets, even though they could go in and just download Long Shots and listen to the Long Shots episode, but we'll run through them quickly. I'll recap mine quickly, then we'll move on to the NFL MVP discussion.
I was talking to the crew. What am I doing? Golf bets?
Yes. Yes.
Your all right, outrights for me this week. Yeah. And again, further breakdown on Long Shots. I know you teased it earlier. Outrights for me, Hideki Matsuyama 30-1, Zayt Thegala 30-1, Matt Fitzpatrick 42-1, Akshay Bhatia 50-1. I shop around, but all current prices still bettable. Those are what I got them at. Doesn't mean that's what you're going to get them at. Xander Schauffele top 10. That and Hideki Matsuyama both Xander top 10, even money. Hideki top 20, even money. My favorite bets of the week. That is what I'm loaded up the most on. Just avoiding Xander in the outright market. Sorry, but it's Xander. Top 10, just bet him top 10. It's the way to go. It's hit 7 out of 10 tournaments for him so far this year. Top 20 is then on Thegala and Bhatia as well. Tournament matchups, Finau over Justin Thomas and Bhatia over Russell Henley. What do you have, my friend?
We always talk about win equity, right? And I look at this and... It's like if there was ever a time for Xander to go ahead and just get one done, just go ahead.
Scheffler's not there. Ludwig's out. Even if you're scared of him,
and I know you hate pulling the trigger at 10-1 on Xander, but it's like if there was ever a time. The dude is like he's the most consistent golfer on tour outside of Scotty as well. He just doesn't win.
He's the second best golfer on the PGA Tour. I don't even think it's close.
I think him and Wyndham would be a discussion because Wyndham has win equity.
He wins. Yeah, he wins.
Yeah, Wyndham has win equity, right?
That's the problem with this conversation. Yeah. He's the second best player. He just doesn't win.
Yeah, it's just such a. I keep looking at him, keep looking at him, and keep looking at him. I have not bet him, but I keep looking at him, going, this could be it.
This is the opening.
This is the crack. No Scotty. This is it.
I mean, maybe this was you with Sam Burns in the past, but it's gotten to the point, Matt, where I'm usually not betting anything on openers in golf. Mm-hmm. Like, it usually takes, I want a couple days for, okay, is there injury news I need to know? I got to dig in. We do a lot of, hours of handicapping that gets poured in before we go and record Long Shots. You and I talk about that a lot. So there's a lot of work for golf on a weekly basis. There's nothing I'm really bet on openers. Mm-hmm. This year, that started to change, and it's one thing. It's, okay, what's Xander's top 10 price going to be? Yeah. I'm betting it right away because I know it's only going one direction.
Yeah, it is. A couple of the outright bets for me have some moved against me, some moved for me, but I'm on Wyndham Clark. I understand it's a short number. Like I just said, the win equity for Wyndham Clark is so incredibly high. The guy knows how to go out and play these tough courses and knows how to win, specifically in these, you know, kind of elite events. Remember, this is an elevated event. This is a no-cut event, so Wyndham Clark's going to get four shots at it no matter what. You don't like pushing the button, I should say. It's such a short number, but it is what it is. Tony Finau on the card for me. Like I said, weirdly enough, number one in the model for me in a couple different versions that I ran. So, I mean, ahead of Xander, ahead of Wyndham, and that's saying so. Ahead of Rory, you know?
I like him too. I'm scared. I'm scared where he's at with the putting and some stuff right now.
I'm on Scythe as well. You and I are both on him, so I got him in there. I'm on Akshay. I know you're on him and just an alternate. You don't have an outright, do you?
I did end up playing an outright. But, you know, a couple outright. I think both Thigala and Battier, I don't know if they'd be outrights if Scheffler was in here or some of those other guys were in here.
So do have him in the account again. I did adjust the model just a little bit. I had it so heavily weighted towards driving distance. I reined that back just a tad, sprinkled that out to other parts of it, and then Akshay just rocketed towards the top of the model. So kind of the one outlier bet there for me. Max Homa, up and down season for him, but again, another guy that plays these hard courses as well, has the game that I'm looking for. And then this one is strictly a numbers drift for a dude who has who's won multiple times on the PGA Tour in Sam Burns. I know it's like a running joke, but you get to 50-1. On Sam Burns in a 69-player field on a course where he's not going to get penalized for spraying that driver like he does. It's just tough for me to pass on a 50-1 for a dude that, like, again, the win equity's there. And we said this on Long Shots, and I'll repeat it here. Kelly, we're only a few weeks away. The guy was winning a tournament on hole 17.
Yep.
He just had to get through two more holes to win a tournament. He dunks it in the water on 17 and ends up losing the tournament. I mean, like, we're not even that far away from him. I mean, we could be talking about Sam Burns in a completely different light right now if he had not dunked that ball in the water on 17 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I know he's a guy you're often looking at, but I think any time you get a course where it's okay, hey, you got to be long off the tee, but accuracy doesn't matter as much. He's someone that you have to consider at least.
Yeah. We got Justin Thomas top 10 and then Corey Connors top 20 on the card as well. NFL MVP, Kelly, this one is still available at the price that I got it, and I have me a Jared Goff ticket in the account, 40-1 on Jared Goff. And Kelly, tell me a reason not to love Jared Goff, right? He had 4,575 passing yards last season. That was second in the NFL. He had 30 touchdowns, which was fourth in the NFL. Only 12 interceptions, so all that stuff about Goff not being able to handle pressure, not being able to do all that stuff, he didn't do that last year. 269 yards a game, third in the NFL. 67% completion percentage, fifth in the NFL. He was the fifth graded passer in the NFL by Pro Football Focus of all quarterbacks with at least 400 dropbacks. The offensive line was the eighth best passing block unit in the entire NFL. Now you get year two of Jahmyr Gibbs. You get Jameson Williams' first full season with this team. Remember, he was injured in his first year and then suspended in his second. This is his first full season with this team. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sixth best wideout, according to Pro Football Focus, just got his bag, so he's going to be happy to be in there as well. Year two of Sam Laporta, who was already one of only six tight ends in the NFL to get at least 100 targets. There are so many different ways that Jared Goff can at least play his way into the conversation. If you're holding a 40-1 ticket, if it comes up to where it's a head-to-head between him and someone else, you're going to monetize the ticket no matter what. Like, you're going to be able to make money. I don't see any real regression coming on the offensive side of the ball for this team. If anything, a tiny bit of a step up for this team in a guy that was already top five in so many different categories that there were out there. I like the 40-1. I really like the 40-1 on Goff. And like I said, all I need him to do is play himself into a way that we can make some money on this ticket.
Yeah, no bets for me yet in this market. But look, I'm not as high on the individual player, Jared Goff. I think is
the situation.
Others might be, but the situation makes sense, right? I mean, the offense is incredible. And where the odds are even telling you they expect this team to end up in the NFC, his name's very likely going to be in the conversation. I mean, the other one I'll bring up at similar pricing, because I think it's basically the exact same situation. It is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like Kirk Cousins is 35-1. If you're really high in the Falcons, the quarterback of a team that's leading the team to win a division, like he's going to be in the conversation.
If you haven't done so already, head over, get our full thoughts on the Wells Fargo over at the podcast. Subscribe, rate, review. Unless you want to rate and review terribly. And in that case, you can just pass on it. Really do appreciate it.
Just tweet at me.
Good luck on all your bets today, guys.